Good morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom of your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart ever be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Well done. Welcome to a new day. A new day of possibilities. If you don't see yourself as a Christian, welcome to church. I hope you engage as we think about the wisdom of God. If you love and serve the Lord, welcome to church. You will learn how to better live God's way in God's world as God's image. So far, our look at Proverbs has raised the distinction between wisdom and folly. We've learned that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom, we've learned, is the skill of living well in God's world. Proverbs uses the metaphor of our life along a path or way, with wisdom calling us on a wise path and folly calling us on a foolish path. Last week, Dan introduced the idea that we don't walk a single path in life, but a path with many crossroads. Each day has moments in time when we stand at a crossroad of decision. Will we be wise, moving along that straight, wise path, or will we be foolish? Let me introduce you to my grandson, Jack.
What's your name?
Jack Rowley.
And Jack, what are the two types of choices you can make?
Green.
And?
No, red.
Okay. And what's a red choice?
Red choice is when you hit someone or bite their bum or hit them or punch them in the face.
Oh, and what happens if you make a red choice?
You get a punishment.
Okay. And what's a green choice?
Green choice means when you do good stuff, help your mummy or your daddy or your neighbours, or you help your grandfathers or your mothers.
What happens when you make green choices?
You get no punishment. You just get God.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for explaining that.
So simple a child could understand it. In life, we make choices. Red or green, bad or good, foolish or wise. And with choices inevitably comes consequences. Proverbs 4:27 says, "Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil." So each day we will make choices that will lead us down the wise path or the foolish path. And today is a day of possibilities. Whatever decisions made yesterday, in a moment of time, standing at a crossroads, today you get to choose again. Today's topic is the tongue, basically how we speak to others. Proverbs has plenty to say about how we speak, about 40 different references on the issue. I'm thankful I live in Australia, where freedom of speech is valued and normal. If I feel the government is making a wrong decision, I can say something about it and I don't get put in jail. I can stand here this morning and speak about Christ and not fear for my life. How blessed are we with the freedom to speak our mind? Unfortunately, some use this freedom to slander others, to lie, to gossip, to harass. Social media is full of online trolling where horrendous things are said to the harm of others. It causes anxiety or depression and even leads some to suicide. It is a freedom abused. Clearly, our speech is a cause that produces effects on others. When Jack chooses to be naughty, and I'm about to take him to task about it, I am in a moment of time, standing at a crossroad. In the way I speak to him, will it be wise, with good consequences for him and our relationship, where I help him to grow in understanding? Or will it be foolish, where I bring him harm and damage our relationship? In growth groups this week, we've been looking at Proverbs and the consequences of patterns of speech. We found foolish speech takes from others, causes hurt, the anxious become dispirited, it leads to punishment and poverty, stirs up anger, crushes a person's spirit, causes division between friends, and causes personal difficulty. And that's not an exhaustive list. We found the consequences of wise speech included rescue from harm, healing hurt, cheering up the anxious, getting discernment, turning aside wrath, bringing healing and enriched life, and promoting love and forgiveness. It poses the question, how do we cause positive intended effects by our speech? Each day, when we stand at many crossroads, there are many moments of decision where we need to choose an appropriate pattern of speech for each situation. We are free to speak how we like, but we have a responsibility to be Christ-like, where our speech helps rather than harms others. Proverbs 1 argues that the fool makes poor choices because they love ignorance, refuse to listen to wisdom, don't accept counsel or correction. At a fundamental level, Jesus calls a spade when it comes to poor choices, including speech. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For what it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a person and defile them. Each of us has a capacity to act poorly. To avoid foolish choices, we all have a responsibility to get our hearts right with God. Our reading today links to some crucial ideas together. See if you can pick them. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly, and don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead, consider carefully the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. Wisdom from Proverbs is to be kept in our hearts. We are to guard our heart above all else. It helps us to choose our words carefully. We are to consider our path and not turn at the crossroads. That heart we're guarding, what should it look like? Mark 12:30 reminds us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Living a life of such devotion leads to what the psalmist in Psalm 119 said. How can a young person stay on a path of purity? By living according to your word. I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. It's a great description of how to guard your heart. But when you look at all the references on how to and how not to speak in Proverbs, the danger is to see a list of rules. Fixing up our patterns of speech doesn't get us right with God. We trust that Jesus, who died and rose again, has restored our relationship with God so that we can love him and take delight in obeying his decrees about how to speak. And as a result, we'll get the benefits of wise speech, not the bad consequences of foolish speech. Slide 11, in considering our question, how do we cause positive intended effects by our speech, I want to look at five issues. Why speak, who to speak to, what to speak, how to speak, and when to speak. So firstly, why speak? This relates to the motivation you have to speaking at all. Those who speak badly will have a motivation that is often self-centered. They care about themselves, not about the people they're speaking to. So what should our motivations be? Proverbs 9:9 says, "Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning." This tells us that teaching has benefits. And you won't always know what someone will take away from your discussions. In my professional life, I was a science teacher. Occasionally, at the end of teaching 2 years of physics, a student would think to write some thoughts on a card. I have one of these here this morning. A girl who was not the most adept physics student, she said, "You helped me keep things in perspective when I was ready to give up. I learnt so much from your classes. However, not a lot was physics based." Many moments of time I spoke into that girl. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Speaking for those who have no voice is a great reason to speak. The young, the shy, those who lack power in a relationship. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." If you speak unwholesome talk, why would you say it? Selfish, thoughtful motives. Why speak helpful talk? To meet the needs of others who often can't do so for themselves. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." You can speak up to upskill others in all sorts of things, including for God's work. So, who to speak to? Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 to 5 suggests all sorts of people: the inexperienced, the young, the wise, the discerning, anyone who will benefit and be open to what we're saying. Now, it works better if you're speaking with people you have a relationship with. People you don't have a relationship probably aren't going to respond that well. So working on building relationships so you can eventually have meaningful conversations is a great thing. What to speak? There is a lot in Proverbs of what not to speak. Lies, gossip, deceit, flattery, rebellious speech. When you look at a lot of traditional and social media, there is a lot which is shallow and trivial. Now, it's okay to talk about the footy, especially when the Eels win, Gary, or about the show you watched last night. But every conversation doesn't have to be deep and meaningful. But there is value in being able to speak of substance. Proverbs 1 exhorts us to hear insightful sayings, prudent instruction in righteousness, justice and integrity, hearing about shrewdness, knowledge, discretion and guidance. We should be able to speak helpful and meaningful things to others when appropriate. And sometimes that's doing God talk. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, said, "He, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." Those would be conversations of substance. Sometimes what you can speak comes from your life experience. Next slide, please. Ah, there they are. They're my boys. Great young men. But as children, they were all diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. That delightful trait apparently stems from their male parent. Wendy and I have both been able to speak to other parents who are challenged with similar issues. Part of it is not doing that walk alone. Part of it is imparting practical tips that they can try. Your life experiences may benefit others. How to speak. How we speak will either help or hinder the message of what we speak. It also helps set the mindset of the person we're speaking to. This is partly about our heart and partly about how we see ourselves. There is a spectrum of personality types that ranges from submissive to assertive to aggressive. We have the submissive mouse, the aggressive monster, or the honest, assertive me. The submissive person doesn't know or remember they are loved by God. They let themselves be a doormat where others walk all over them. Their actions and words are not in accord with their feelings. They're not being honest with their hearers. That can lead them to suppressed anger and resentment. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and discipline." And Joshua 1:9 says, "Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The submissive person needs to move up the spectrum. The aggressive person stands for their own rights but ignores the rights of others. They dominate and in some cases humiliate others. They don't listen to others and they make decisions that are inconsiderate of others. Proverbs 26:28 warns, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts and a flattering mouth causes ruin." The aggressive person needs to move down the spectrum. The assertive person understands their position as loved and redeemed by God. They know that God wants them to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Him. They ask God to provide all that they need, and they recognize the needs of others. As such, they relate confidently to others. With the guidance of Proverbs, they can speak skillfully. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns aside wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Chapter 15, verse 18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Our message may be robust, but our method of delivery can be measured and calm. Our method of delivery not only involves the words we speak, but the non-verbal cues as well. What you say has to be matched by how you say it. Body language, facial expressions, tone of voice convey meaning as well as the words you say. Christian counsellors Alistair Groves and Winston Smith say in their book, Untangling Emotions, these words: most communication in any given conversation has much more to do with how something is said than with the words themselves. In my experience, tone and facial expressions may be greater sources of misunderstanding and conflict than words. Words can be clarified with explanation, but if tone and facial expressions don't line up with your words or even contradict them, then it's going to be difficult to connect. Jack asked his grandmother this morning, why does Granddad have his angry face on? I hadn't said a word. When to speak. The thing at the right time is so important. Basically, there are times when it is wise to speak, and there are times when it is wise to stay silent. Proverbs 15:23 says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. 25 verse 12 says, a word spoken at the right time is like apples of gold in silver settings. A wise correction to a receptive ear is like a gold ring or an ornament of gold. Saying the right thing at the right time is such a precious thing to the person hearing it. The skill comes in discerning what is helpful at that moment in time. What does your hearer need in that moment? And how will your words meet that need? Think of Adam in the garden. Eve, darling, God did say not to eat that one. He did say, you will surely die. We will surely die. If only he hadn't been silent. If only he had that apt word in that moment of time. How blessed would we be? So when is it wise to stay silent? Proverbs 11:12 says, whoever shows contempt for his neighbour lacks sense, but a person with understanding keeps silent. My mum would say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Proverbs 13:3 says, the one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Some people shoot their mouth off without thinking. Not speaking straight away gives you time to think. Do I stay silent? Or can I give a more considered response? Proverbs 17:27 and 28 says, the one who has knowledge restrains his words, and the one who keeps silent invites his own ruin. Sorry, I'll read that again. The one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. So, I'll read the right one. The one who has knowledge restrains his words. The one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. You see, even a fool seems wise till he opens his mouth. But when we do speak, it's better if we are calm and use words with restraint. It's a plea to try and de-escalate rather than inflame the situation. So our question at the start was, how do we cause positive intended effects by our speech? Well, we stay rooted in God's word. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." We do this so our hearts are in step with God and to become skillful in how we live. Skillful speech is all about meeting the needs of others at that moment in time. Our motivation should be to build them up. We should speak to those who will benefit and be open to what we're saying. And we should speak things worth saying in ways that help our message and at a time when they will be effective. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we're foolish, we can read in your word about how to be wise. Help us to learn to look in those moments of time, those moments of decision when we stand at a crossroads, to say the right thing, the thing that is good and helpful.